Well, good morning, church family. Come on, stand up across this room. The presence of the Lord is in this place today. He deserves and desires our worship. So let's engage our hearts, our minds, and bring a focus today and worship the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Come on, you know this. He's coming on the clouds. Kings and kingdoms will bow down. And every chain will break as broken hearts declare His praise. For who can stop the Lord Almighty? Sing it! Our God is the Lion of Judah. He's roaring with power and fighting our battles. And every knee will bow. Make a way before the King of Kings. He's here today. The God who comes to save is here to set the captives free. For who can stop the Lord? Stop the Lord Almighty. Who can stop? Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Sing it loud. Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Oh, who can stop the Lord Almighty? Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Worship together, church. Sing it out. Our God.
Our God is the Lion of Judah. He's roaring with power and He's fighting our battle. And every knee will bow before Him. Our God is the Lamb that was slain for the sins of the world.
There is a truth older than the ages. There is a promise of things yet to come. There is one born for our salvation, Jesus. is a light that overwhelms the darkness. There is a kingdom that forever reigns. There is freedom from the chains that bind us.
And his name is
Jesus, Jesus.
There is truly no one like him. He stands in the fire beside us. Turn to someone next to you, say hello, greet him, and tell him that Jesus is your rock and Jesus is your redeemer this morning. Well, you sound great this morning. Want to say thank you for coming and joining us this morning in worship. To everyone that's in the room and everyone joining us online, thank you for participating and coming and bringing your worship with you. Please, if you have a moment, grab your phone either here in the room or online and text the word CONNECT, that's C-O-N-N-E-C-T, should be on the screens right there, to 74788. We want to get to know you, pray for you. We'd love to connect with you. And any of our guests that are in the room, immediately after our service, we have a gift that we would love to put in your hands out at Guest Central. Go by there. We've got some good friends that would love to greet you and smile and just say hello. So go by there as well. We're thankful that you're here this morning. Stay faithful, church family, in your giving. Your giving makes everything that happens at Prestonwood possible. So thank you for your generosity. Thank you for your stewardship. Be praying for Freedom Weekend. Freedom Weekend is one of our largest outreach in our student ministry. I see a lot of my students up here to the right. Hello, good morning, students. Yes, that's pretty pathetic. Listen, it's Cowboys game day. I need you to come a little stronger, students, all right? We're here for worship. It's going to be an incredible time. Be praying for all those Freedom volunteers. Sign your student up. Be thinking, students, about someone that you can invite that needs to be here that weekend to be encouraged and blessed by God's word. Let's pray together. Let's continue to worship together. It's a great, great morning. Father God, we love you, and we thank you for the family of faith here and online all over the world joining us, God. We pray that as your word is preached and taught, God, that your Holy Spirit would move and convict us as your sons and daughters. You are our rock. You are our Redeemer. We have nowhere else to turn but to you. And so we thank you, Jesus, that you stand in that fire beside us. And we pray, Father, that as we worship you, as your word is taught, as we fellowship together, God, that we would leave this place more like your son, Jesus, than we came in here. And we would love and serve him all of our days. That's our hope. And that's our prayer. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
You are my strength when I am weak. You are the treasure that I seek. You are my all in all.
Sing it with me.
Seeking you as a precious jewel, Lord, to give up, I'd be a fool. You are my all in all. My sin, my cross, my shame, rising again, I bless your name. You are my all in all.
Thank you, Lord.
When I fall down, you pick me up. When I am dry, you fill my cup. You are my all in all.
Come on, church.
Oh, Jesus.
Every dark addiction starts to break. declaring there is hope and there is freedom. I speak Jesus. Your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is life. Break every stronghold. Shine through the shadows. Burn like a fire.
Won't declare it, church.
I just want to speak the name of Jesus over fear and all anxiety. Every soul held captive by depression, I speak Jesus. Your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is life. Break every stronghold. Shine through the shadows. Burn light.
In the darkness over every enemy. Oh, Jesus, for my family, I speak the holy name of Jesus. Shout Jesus in there. Shout Jesus from the mountains. Jesus in the streets. Jesus in the darkness over every enemy.
Worthy.
everyone. Take your Bibles and turn to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 4. We are back in our series, Tell Me the Story of Jesus. Thank you for participating in the worship this morning. I just so appreciate our choir, our team leadership. What beautiful music and wonderful worship we've shared together. Our hearts are warm towards the Lord. The Spirit of the presence of the Lord is in this place right here, right now. Amen. So when we bring the Word of God, all you need to do is light a match and it will catch on fire. So not literally, but you know what I mean. There's such joy in the presence of the Lord and such hope in Christ. We began this series, Tell Me the Story of Jesus, a number of months ago, and at the beginning we focused on the character of Jesus, who he is, Son of God, Son of Man. And as we spoke of the character of Christ, we saw his purity and his sinlessness and his beauty and his glory. Then we took some time to tell the story of Jesus regarding conversations that he had, the one-on-ones, FaceTime with Jesus, and we learned so much about our personal relationship with Christ and our walk with him when we see how he engaged people individually. We also learned how we can also share our faith like Jesus as we talk to people and as we tell them the story of Jesus. So now we're going to turn the page a bit in the story of Jesus, and we're going to talk about the confrontations of Jesus. Confrontations. Jesus was controversial. And he was confrontational. And when you read the New Testament, when you are studying the life of Christ and seeing who he is and what he's all about, you realize that not everyone loved Jesus. We love Jesus, amen? We do. We worship him. But not everyone in that day or in this day loves Jesus. We know that there is sin and sinfulness in the world, and there is a confrontation going on between good and evil, between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of darkness. And Jesus is right in the middle of this confrontation. I know some people love to see Jesus as a kind of a guru or a social justice activist, or, you know, the photos or the portraits of Jesus, you know, meek and mild with a lamb around his neck. And certainly Jesus is a shepherd and he loves us tenderly. And he's caring and compassionate. But Jesus also confronted sin. He confronted sinfulness. We see him in the Bible. We're going to take some time in the Gospels to see what Jesus did when he confronted the devil, when he confronted demons, when he confronted disasters, when he confronted disease, and when he confronted death. These confrontations of Jesus are so very important to us because it tells us that while we face confrontation and opposition and resistance to our faith, that we have a victor and that we live in the power of his victory. Today, we're going to begin with Jesus' confrontation with the devil himself. And I'm calling this message, Jesus Goes to War. Jesus Goes to War. Read beginning with me at verse 1, chapter 4 of Matthew. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for as it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him, "Again, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, "All these I will give to you if you will fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said to him, "Begone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." Amen. Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came, and they were ministering to him. This is such an important event in the life of Christ that three of the four gospel writers tell this story of the temptation of Christ and how Jesus overcame the enemy. Jesus faces Satan in temptation and becomes the example as to how we also can overcome temptation. So as we begin this time together in the Word of God, think first with me about how we should recognize the satanic presence of evil. If you're going to overcome temptation in your life, and this is the biggest question we often get, how can I defeat the enemy? How can I overcome? How can I break this addiction? How can I overcome this sinful habit in my life? How can I resist temptation? We hear it again and again and again. I suppose it really, at heart, is the number one question that Christians ask. We wonder, how can we overcome temptation in our lives? How can we live a godly life, an obedient life? Well, it begins by recognizing the satanic presence of evil, which is the source of our temptation. When you follow Jesus, you step into a war. You walk right in to the middle of a war that began eons ago, before time began as we know it. In eternity past, there was war in heaven, the Bible says. There was a revolt as God had created angelic beings to worship him. There was a beautiful and powerful angel by the name of Lucifer, meaning son of the morning. And Lucifer, on a day, rose up in rebellion against God. We read this in Isaiah chapter 14. He said, I will exalt myself above the throne of God. He desired to be worshiped as God. And so there was a revolt in heaven. And we're told as a result of Lucifer, the son of the morning's rebellion and sin against God, in his pride, he rebelled against God. He was thrown out of heaven, along with him one third of the heavenly host rebelled. Before there was ever sin on earth, there was sin in heaven. Before there was revolt on earth, there was revolt in heaven. So this war began and continues to this day between the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of darkness. Satan, Lucifer, became the son of morning, became the father of the night. And thus we have Satan. And God allowed this to happen. God created the angels and gave them a choice, and that included Satan and now the demonic hordes that are still active. They're not in hell. They're moving throughout the earth. In the beginning, the battle shifts from heaven to earth. And God creates a perfect paradise, made the man and the woman perfectly in the garden. And Satan shows up, and the serpent speaks to Adam and Eve, and that temptation arrives, the first temptation on earth, Satan. The Bible says here that Jesus was driven into the wilderness. Mark said he was driven. Matthew and Luke tell us that he was led by the Spirit in the wilderness to do battle with the enemy. Well, it all began back in the Garden of Eden, the devil. When you see the word devil here, there are many names given to us in the Bible to describe the devil. He is Satan. He is the serpent. He is the dragon. Jesus called him a liar and a murderer from the beginning. He's the father of lies. He's the evil one. He's the accuser. He's the destroyer. But here we see him specifically as the tempter, because it is Satan who tempts us to sin. Satan is not an ambiguous expression of evil. He is a person. Unfortunately, many people today believe, in recent surveys, as we're talking about worldview in these days and how people view the world and view the Bible, Most people think that Satan is just a synonym for the presence of evil. No, Satan is real. Satan is alive. And his presence is seen throughout the Bible. When you read the story of the Bible, it is filled with war and battles and bloodshed. I've been going through the Bible in the Bible in a Year podcast, and we're making our way through these Old Testament stories, and it is stunning when you read these stories in the Old Testament of battles and fights and evil and ghastly deeds. And I mean, it's definitely R-rated for violence. Where does all this fighting come from? Why all this chaos? There are kingdoms in conflict. And Satan heads this kingdom of darkness. And as the tempter, he is seductive, he is sinister, he is strategic, powerful, and persuasive. And if you know your Bible, you know that our first parents, Adam and Eve, surrendered to Satan and to the temptation. And as they say, the rest is history. History is the record of war and rumors of war. When you read the Bible, it's like a report from the battlefield filled with war stories. And in this case, we see Jesus going to war. The battle begins with a beautiful, or the Bible rather, begins with a beautiful wedding in paradise. Adam and Eve. And then Satan attacks and destroys what God has beautifully created. That's always his desire, to turn people from a loving relationship with God and one another. Thus you have the devil and his satanic force upon the earth. Some people think that when you become a Christian, you're done with the devil. No, you're just getting started. I know some Christians are worried about, especially new Christians, if you're fresh to the faith, maybe you thought, okay, I've come to Jesus, I'm never going to be tempted again. I'm never going to sin again. I'm never going to have a problem with those temptations again. Well, let me just give you a reality check. There is a devil. While God has a plan for your life, a wonderful plan for your life, Satan has a terrible plan for your life. He hates you. God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. The devil hates you and he has a terrible plan for your life. And so, yes, you will be a target of the enemy, especially if you are new to the faith. Maybe you're wondering, how can it be that I'm thinking some of the same thoughts and I'm dealing with some of the same temptations in my life? Was I really saved? Was that just a hoax? Was that just something that didn't mean a thing? No, the fact that you are new to the faith, you are vulnerable at the beginning, in particular, to the attacks of the enemy. And you need, therefore, to be prepared. But on the other side, let me tell you that when you are a growing Christian, when you are following Christ and walking with Him, you also will face temptation. In fact, the devil loves a shining mark. And if you are impacting the kingdom of God for the kingdom of God, if you're winning people to Christ, if you're standing for Christ strong, be prepared, because you are a target of the enemy as well. Point is, even Jesus was tempted. And if you're walking with Jesus, you'll be tempted even as Jesus was tempted. Jesus, this is a real Satan. This is a real Jesus with a real body. People want to know, well, was this real temptation? Could Jesus have sinned? Of course it was a real temptation. Jesus in his flesh, in his body. We'll talk about that a little more. But I'm just telling you that it all began, this battle began in the Garden of Eden when man sinned. The first Adam failed in the garden, and mankind, humankind, were thrust into the wilderness, into the desert of life. But when the second Adam came, who is the Lord Jesus Christ, according to the Bible, the second Adam went to the desert, went to the wilderness in order to take us back to the garden. Amen. to restore us and renew us and to bring paradise again. Two kingdoms are in conflict, and I say again, you are in the middle of this war. Don't be surprised that the weapons are all around you. Secondly, realize the seductive power of temptation. We realize the satanic presence of temptation. Satan is real. We've preached about this many times. But I want you to realize the seductive power of temptation. Because just when you think you are rising above the challenges and the confrontations of life, you find yourself, especially if you stand for Christ, you find yourself in the enemy's target zone. This past week, there was the March for Life. We are remembering Sanctity of Life Sunday at our North Campus today and next Sunday here at our Plano campus, because we have a ministry, we have a mission in the midst of the Sanctity of Life issue and standing for life and serving our community. But you may have noticed this week in the March for Life, and there were thousands of people who were standing for the Sanctity of Life, and one of those was Tony Dungy, the great Hall of Fame football coach and now NBC announcer, and does a great job, I might add. He's an incredible man and a splendid, just character-filled coach and person, and Tony Dungy had the audacity, according to some, to go to the Sanctity of Life March, the March for Life in Washington, and speak. And he did, and he did so beautifully as he stood for life. And there are some now who are calling for his dismissal at NBC because he dared to do this. Now, where do you think that's coming from? Well, we know where it's coming from. You take a stand for life, you take a stand for Christ, you make a commitment to God, and you do it publicly, the slings and arrows are going to come. And so Tony Dungy is standing tall, and he's therefore attacked by the devil. Let me just say that to be attacked by the devil is to be like Jesus, because Jesus was attacked by the devil also. And we see it right here in this passage of Scripture. And if you are familiar with your Bible, you know that there were three temptations that we read about. One had to do with physical temptation for bread. So physical appetites. Another, the second of the temptations, had to do with personal ambitions. As the devil took Jesus to the pinnacle of the temple, we were just there in Jerusalem a few weeks ago, standing and looking at that place, the pinnacle of the temple, where the devil transported Jesus, and this is all supernatural, of course, but transported him there to the temple pinnacle and said, "Jump, and the angels will carry you." And Jesus responded to that, but it had to do with his personal ambitions. And then he showed him all the kingdoms of the world and said, "Bow down and worship me, and I'll give you all of these." And Jesus did not deny that Satan controlled the kingdoms of this world. The Bible calls him the god of this age, that he is the god of this world. And so Jesus didn't say, "You don't have the right to do that." What he did say is, "You should worship God and him only." And Jesus resisted that temptation. But in the last temptation there, you see the reason for the temptation in Christ's life, in your life. Satan desires to be worshiped. He desires the worship that is due only to God. And he uses temptation in order to destroy us if he can. So let's define temptation. What is temptation? Well, it is the enticement to evil. It is the desire to disobey God. It is the solicitation to sin for some pleasure that maybe the sin promises. And there is pleasure in sin for a season, says the Word of God. I would define temptation in this way. It is the solicitation to fulfill a God-given desire in a God-forbidden way. Okay? You may want to write that down. That's tweetable right there. Temptation is the solicitation. It is the enticement to fulfill a God-given desire. Bread, that's normal appetite. The temptation to bread, turn these stones into bread. Jesus could do it. He later turned water into wine. No problem performing a miracle. But what was the temptation? It was to fulfill a desire in a God-forbidden way. It would have been disobedient to God, in not in God's timing. And so Jesus rejected this temptation. This all comes right after the baptism of Christ. As Jesus was baptized, and the Father spoke and said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased," and the dove descended, the Holy Spirit. Right after this powerful announcement and anointing upon the life of Jesus as the Messiah, after the dove comes the devil. Have you noticed that the most stringent temptations often come after spiritual highs in our life? After times of great victory. It was true in the life of Jesus. Like Jesus, we are often vulnerable after victories. I don't know about you, but I often find it harder to manage success than I do failures. We can become prideful and arrogant when we win if we do not give God glory and if we do not seek His grace even in every victory, knowing that the victory is the Lord. But we all will be tempted in one way or another, one time or another. 1 Corinthians 10:10 is a verse that you should mark. And you should memorize and meditate on this verse and use it like the sword of the Spirit when temptation comes, because it is a great promise that comes from God. 1 Corinthians 10:13. We are all tempted. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. Why are we tempted? Because we are human. It is common. God is faithful. Say amen. And He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. Amen. That's a promise from God. The fact is, the temptations will come. Now, I believe that Jesus went to the wilderness, led by the Holy Spirit, not on the defensive, but on the offensive. He went out into the wilderness, led by the Spirit of God, to take on the tempter and to defeat him and to establish His authority and His victory over the enemy at the very outset of His ministry. Remember, this is the very beginning, the baptism, the dove, then comes the devil. So before He gets started in his mission on earth, His public ministry and mission on earth, there's this one final test, and Jesus takes the test. And Satan shows up. Apparently at the end of the 40 days. I don't know. We don't know if Satan had been around tempting all along, but it was after a 40-day fast. Jesus was alone in the Judean desert. One commentator said he would have been more alone there in the Judean desert. There were jackals, there were wild beasts, there were lions. We've been there also many times to this very day. It is a dark and desolate place. The valley of the shadow of death is there. Jesus is in this wilderness, 40 days, 40 nights, without food and without friends. Just alone. Psychologists talk about responding to temptations and decisions in our lives when we are hit, that we often face, and this is true spiritually, we often face our great temptations, our greatest temptations, when we are hit by the devil. H-I-T, when we're hungry, when we are isolated, and when we are tired. And what is true psychologically is certainly true spiritually. We see it in the life of Jesus. He was hungry. He was physically famished. He was wasting away in the wilderness. He was isolated. No family, no friends, just himself and the presence of the Father. And then he was tired. He was exhausted after these 40 days, no food, no water, just the desert, and now the devil. And what happened to Jesus can happen to us at times when we are hungry, either physically. You ever been hangry? Or primarily emotionally or spiritually, if you're spiritually hungry. The Bible talks about being filled with the bread of heaven. Blessed are the hungry, for theirs shall be the righteousness of God. Jesus was hungry physically, and we often are as well, but we are hungry emotionally or hungry spiritually. There's something missing. We're empty, and that's when we're vulnerable or when we're isolated. The devil loves to get us isolated from the church, from people, from our family, from our friends, to get you alone, and that's when he shows up and hits you. Or when you're tired, when you're not taking care of yourself, when you're physically or emotionally exhausted, when your body is wasting away, when you're sick, when you're struggling in some way, when you're tired, you're vulnerable to the enemy's attack. He will hit you. To reverse course just a little bit from the desert to the lake, Satan uses the world and the flesh to tempt us as the bait. And James talked about temptation being like bait on a hook, that Satan baits us and seduces us and suggests to us that something is beautiful when it would take our life. He knows just how to offer the hook. So James, in James chapter 1, verses 14 and 15, takes us on a fishing expedition, talks about fish, talks about the bait, talks about the hook, and it's related to temptation. They say fishing is easy. I don't know. I'm not a fisherman. But they say fishing is easy if you go at the right time, at the right place, with the right bait. Now, fish are supposed to be smart. They have schools. So you would think they would be smarter than they are, or at least take a class on avoiding hooks. But a fish swims up and takes the bait, takes the hook, and next thing you know, fish in a frying pan. And James uses this illustration to show us how we often take the bait that Satan offers, whether it's a temptation related to physical appetite, or personal ambitions, or spiritual allegiance. Who will you worship? Satan hits Jesus with these temptations to fulfill a God-given desire in a God-forbidden way. Jesus takes the test and he passes it every time. Another reason we have this powerful scripture is to show the sinlessness of Jesus. The writer of Hebrews tells us that Jesus was tempted in all points just as we are tempted. So physically, emotionally, spiritually, Jesus took it all. So he understands our temptations. He knows. He's been there. There is a difference between temptation and sin. Very important, big difference. It is not a sin to be tempted. Back to some of you who are new believers, you're feeling bad about yourself because you're tempted again. And you're wondering, am I sinning? Because I have some of these thoughts. And yes, your thoughts can be sinful, but the fact is, to be tempted by the devil or one of his demonic forces, and let me just say that most of us have never had a one-on-one with the devil. Most of us have dealt with the devil's forces and enemies, the spiritual wickedness in high places and so on, the demon spirits. Just as there are angels, there are fallen angels, demonic. Satan himself, a fallen angel, presiding over this horde from hell, the demon spirits. So most of the temptations that we face, there are three sources: the world, the flesh, and the devil, or the devil's crowd. The world, someone called the world the external foe. The world is the culture, the Christless culture, the godless world without God. Not talking about people there. God loves people, but we're not to love the world. But the world provides the platform for Satan to tempt us and to destroy our faith. And then there's the flesh. That's the ego. That's the self. That's the old me that still is in me. And so many temptations come right out of the flesh or right from the world. And then there's the devil himself. We are tempted by the devil. And so we need to be prepared. But there's a difference between temptation and sin. The old psalm says, yield not to temptation, for yielding is sin. It is when we surrender to the temptation and say yes to the temptation that it becomes sin. Jesus clearly defeated the devil, responding to the devil with the word of God. He's quoting scripture. The devil's quoting scripture. The devil knows the scripture, but he distorts it and twists it and uses it for his own advantage. That's why you have devils teaching in universities and colleges, the secular and sometimes so-called Christian, who are twisting the scripture. Don't you think if you wanted to destroy the faith of a young person, if I were the devil, I would locate professors and theologues and so-called Christians in universities and places of authority to use the scripture and to twist it and demean it and distort it and deny it and diminish it. That's what I would do. So I'm not that smart, but I really think the devil's doing that. You know he is. The devil knows the scripture, and he uses scripture often against us. So Jesus responded with the word of God. He used it like a sword. In spiritual battles, we're told we have the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And therefore, Jesus responded with the weapon of choice, which is the word of God. He did not take the bait. He rejected the temptation. The Apostle Paul, in addressing this spiritual war, said that your enemy roams about like a roaring lion, or Peter said, your enemy roams about like a roaring lion. And then Paul said, we're engaged in this spiritual battle against principalities and powers and rulers in the dark places. Your enemy is not the Democrats. Your enemy is not the Republicans. Your enemy is not the swamp in Washington, D.C., Your enemy is spiritual wickedness in high places, demonic forces engaging you in spiritual battle. These are the Antichrist forces. John tells us in 1 John 2:16, what is the world? What is this temptation? It is the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eye and the pride of life. Jesus faced each of these, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. And so you have the world, the flesh, and the devil. Satan uses false teachers and false prophets and false Christians to tempt us. So, in closing this message, let me give you some affirmations. My final point, by the way, in case you're taking notes, is to rely on the Savior's protection from temptation. I'll show you what I mean by that. Rely on the Savior's protection from temptation. Just as Jesus defeated the enemy, he has given us a way through, a way over. So number one, Write this down if you're taking notes. Everyone is tempted, so be prepared. Everyone is tempted, so be prepared. If you are young in the faith in particular, get your Bible open. Start learning the Word of God. Start listening to the Word of God. Start filling your heart and your mind with truth. And if you are making a difference in the kingdom, if you are living for the Lord, and you know, some people would say something like, well, you know, I don't know much about the devil. I don't know that I've ever really met the devil. Well, that's because you're going the same direction he is. You turn around and follow Christ, go in that different direction, you won't be in collusion with the enemy. You'll be in collision with the enemy. So you start living for Jesus and the kingdom of God to advance the kingdom of God, you're in the war. Be prepared. Number two, I said this again, but I want to emphasize, say it again to emphasize, it's not a sin to be tempted, so be encouraged. In fact, God uses temptation in our lives to prove us and prepare us. That's what was happening in effect in the life of Christ at the temptation. He was being proven and prepared and establishing his victory over the enemy. God wants to empower us to win, so he allows tests and temptations. Is a test and a temptation the same thing sometimes? God may allow a temptation to test us, to prove the genuineness of our faith. And when you are tempted, it is your opportunity for you to trust God and to overcome. The other day, I was invited out to the Dallas Cowboys practice, and I was watching them practice, and you know, Dak completed every pass. They scored on basically every play. They were running up and down the field. And you know why? They had no opposition. It was practice. But come tonight when we beat the 49ers. Now look, I'm not a prophet, that's just a guess. An educated guess, but when you go against the enemy, when you go against the opposition, you go against the resistance and you win, that's real victory. Amen. I mean, there's no real victory in just, you know, running up and down the church aisles. But when we leave here and we face the world, the flesh, and the devil, and temptations, when we win, we get stronger and better. And that's where the real victory is. That's where the battle is fought. So it's not a sin to be tempted. You can be tested right now in certain areas of your life. So be encouraged. Then don't underestimate the power of temptation and the enemy. Be wise. Don't overestimate the power of the enemy and of temptation, and don't underestimate. Don't obsess about this, but be alert to this. Some people think, you know, I'm just helpless. I'm helpless against temptation. I've tried to fight it. I can't win. I'm going to give up. I'm helpless. And some of you need to be very careful, because you are underestimating the power of the enemy in your life. You're putting yourself in a position to sin and to be tempted to sin. I like to say, don't give the devil a stick to hit you with. Don't go places or hang with people or watch things or see things that are only going to tempt you and cause you to fail and fall. Now, I don't fear the devil. I don't. I'm not afraid of the devil. Why? 1 John 4, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Because Jesus has established his victory over the enemy. This would not, of course, be the final battle that Jesus would fight with the devil. He would face the devil throughout his days. And on the cross, the ultimate victory was won at the power of the cross. And in the resurrection, the battle was won. So when we come to face the devil, there is no fear if you will be wise. Don't put yourself in a position to fail. Don't tempt God. Don't test God. But there's no fear of the enemy because God has promised to give us a way out and a way through and a way of escape. You are no longer a slave. You are a child of God. Jesus knew who he was. Satan put a question mark there. If you are the Son of God, some suggest it's probably right that Satan was saying, since you are the Son of God, do these things. But be that as it may, Jesus knew who he was, the Son of God. And we have the Son of the living God alive in us. This is our identity in Christ. We are no longer bound. We are no longer enslaved. We are set free by the power of Christ. They overcame him, Revelation 12, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives unto death. By the power of his blood, by the power of the cross, therefore we say, we don't fight for victory, we fight from victory. We don't pray for victory. Jesus taught us to pray, deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. We don't pray for victory. We pray from victory. Amen. And our victory is in Jesus. So don't underestimate the power of temptation and put yourself in a position that Satan can attack you, abuse you, and use you. Be wise, but don't overestimate him either. Know that your victory is in Christ. And then one final thing. Know that God is able to deliver you. Be strong. You can be stronger when you overcome. Build godly habits into your life, like scripture memory. I mean, you have the same Bible that Jesus had. He was quoting from the Old Testament. You have the Bible. It's the same scripture. Jesus didn't pull rank on us and defeat the devil as God. He defeated him as man. It was in his humanity to show us and enable us to know that we can defeat the devil. The success of your Christian life, hear me now, the success of your Christian life and mine is dependent upon the Word of God and the Spirit of God. The psalmist said in Psalm 119, verse 11, let me hide your word in my heart that I might not sin against God. It is why I have been memorizing and meditating upon the Bible nearly all the days of my life. And it's not too late for you to start. Get the Word of God in you. Because what happens when Satan shows up or one of his demon spirits attack and there's temptation, God will give you the Word of God. God will give you his Word. God will enable you to remember a scripture or respond with the Word of God just like Jesus did in the Spirit of God. And oh yes, we have other allies. We have angels. Angels came and ministered to Jesus. And did you know that God has promised that angels will minister to you as well in times of fatigue and frustration and failure and spiritual hurt and difficulty and, yes, temptation? The angels will come to your aid. I believe that with all of my heart. So onward, Christian soldier. Yes, we're in the war. We're walking in the war because we're following Jesus. Satan is a defeated enemy, and our victory is in Christ. Our life is in Christ. And so live in the war, in the power of Jesus Christ, and overcome temptation in Jesus' name. Would you bow your heads with me in prayer, every head bowed, every eye closed? Lord, we thank you for this promise that no temptation comes against us. Satan himself and all the demons of hell cannot defeat us in Christ. So we pray, O God, that you would deliver us from temptation and the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. May we fight from the victory that you have given us and win against every spiritual attack. And when we sin, and we know we do sin, may we confess our sins and find you faithful to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, where we can get up and go fight the battle again. If you don't know Christ, this is the time to trust him. Satan has you in his kingdom. You want to get out. Jesus died on the cross for your sins to defeat the power of the enemy in your life. He rose again to defeat the greatest enemy on earth, which is death. And if you will put your faith and trust in Christ right now, on watching in your home, on a screen, or wherever you are, or right here in this room, just pray this prayer. Lord Jesus, I invite you to come into my life. I believe you died for me and rose again. And right now, I trust you and you only as my Savior. I repent of my sin and receive you into my life. The Bible says, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. If we confess with our mouths the Lord Jesus and believe in our hearts that God has raised him from the dead, we will be saved. God loves you. He has a plan, a purpose for your life. He made you on purpose for a purpose, that you would live out his plan and purpose for your life beginning today. God has you here watching online or worshiping right in this room. This is a divine appointment. You're not here by chance or accident. But the Holy Spirit has brought you here. And now you know that this is your time to say yes to follow Christ. Say no to the power of the enemy. I guarantee you, Satan is whispering lies into your head right now, saying no, do it later, do it another time. This isn't even real. Reject the lies of Satan. He's a liar and a deceiver. And receive Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life. Satan wants to destroy you and your family and everything about you. Put your faith and trust in Christ right now. And in just a moment, when we stand to sing in this room, come forward, tell one of the ministers upstairs and downstairs of your desire to follow Jesus. And we'll take it from there. And you can walk out of here born again, changed by the power of Jesus. Online, 747-88 is the number. 747-88, text in J-E-S-U-S, Jesus. You see a hand on the screen. If you're on one of those platforms that has a hand right now, just click it, raise a hand. I'm trusting in Christ. 747-88, Jesus. And we're standing by to connect with you and follow up with you and encourage you in your faith. There are others in this room. You want to belong to Prestonwood. You've been worshiping with us. You have been in services and perhaps visiting classes and groups and getting to know us. Now's the time. Maybe this is your first time here. And you would say, I know this is where I belong. I want to join this church and be a part of it. I hear that all the time. People show up not expecting and say, this is my church. This is where I belong. I want to be a part of Prestonwood. Come and join today. Make that decision for Christ today. Lord, move in every heart and every life. We pray that Satan will have no influence over the hearts and minds of people right now, but that your Holy Spirit will lead and bring people to faith and trust in Jesus this very moment. May the miracle take place online, on site, right here, right now, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for worship at Prestonwood. As you heard earlier, if you made a decision for Christ, please text Jesus to 747-88. We would love to connect with you and give you these great resources to help you grow in your faith. One is a New Believer's Bible with helpful notes to help you study God's Word. The other is a book by Pastor Jack Graham on the next steps to take as you pursue this new life in Christ. As we close, I'd like to thank you for your faithful giving to support Prestonwood and the work God is doing through our ministries. If you would like to give, text the word GIVE to 747-88 or visit prestonwood.org/give. It's been a joy worshiping with you, and we look forward to seeing you again soon.